Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC, New York Public Radio, this is the podcast of Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. This is just one segment of today's show. You can hear all of our conversations about New York's vibrant cultural scene on demand at WNYC.org. This podcast is made possible by WNYC and its listeners. Please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org. This is Soundcheck at 93.9 WNYC and WNYC.org. I'm John Schaefer. Tango is timeless, mixing love and action in the motion of its people. Those are the words of our guest, Robert Farris Thompson. His new book is Tango, The Art History of Love. It explores the history and roots of this popular dance form that has become the heart and soul of Argentinian culture for the past 100 years. Robert Farris Thompson is the author of several books, including Black Gods and Kings and African Art in Motion. He is an art history professor at Yale University. He joins me here in our WNYC studios. Robert, as I mentioned, you are an art historian, and you've written these books on African art. Why a book on tango?
Because tango, besides being a great lyric, is very visual. So I was able to build part of my history in terms of art historical documents, paintings. The painters of the 19th century in Argentina were like icons in our nation.
So there's a visual history.
Oh, very much so. Huh. That's how we can see how far back these basic gestures go.
Wow. And at its heart, is this, like so many other allegedly New World developments, rooted in Africa too?
It certainly is. First of all, the word tango, it comes probably from tanga, which means to celebrate, to have a second funeral, to have a festival, to have a place of festival. And tangana means to walk that walk. W.C. Handy used that term way back in St. Louis when he played the habanera beat, that dun 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 dun, which is the heart of the beginning of tango.
So the word had, I guess it sounds like, a lot of different meanings.
It has
all related.
A wide spectrum, and that spectrum is duplicated on both sides of the Atlantic.
All right. So now you open your book, though, with a description of a mural in downtown Buenos Aires,
right.
And it is of the great tango singer Carlos Gardel.
The icon, Carlos Gardel. And the message of that, if I can read just quickly, The message of that mural is Gardel's back. And this is his message. Heaven is tucked away somewhere in Buenos Aires. Quest for its glamour, as when the Boca Juniors won a soccer match, fill the street with honking cars and gesturing bare-chested, high-spirited guys, or when a horse wins a race and suddenly men and women have the money to start a tango club, or when a woman meets the love of her life and he meets the love of his life on the floor of an old tango ballroom. Because the smile of Gardel is a challenge. If you want to understand me, master the metrics of my city. Because you don't reach 10 million without a big dream. And what is that dream? Tango. Find out.
That's a lot to pack in a mural.
Well, that mural is 7 stories high, and it's like the master icon of tango in Buenos Aires.
And is it from, like, the 1930s or something?
No, it was done in 1989 by Uruguayan Carlos Villaro. One hell of an artist.
Okay, so a much more recent example of the iconography of tango.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
So in this book, you really dig into the roots. I mean, you've alluded to the roots of the word tango.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about what the movements originally signified and how they became associated with this dance.
Well, first of all, the Congo-derived candombe societies, which were black societies dedicated to dancing that dance, walking that walk, they were called candombe. Ka means pertaining to ndombe, black people. Candombe could be translated as all that we are as black people. And if we could play just a little bit of candombe music, I can show you exactly what flowed in. First of all, you can see this is West African drum choir music.
Right.
And that the rattling sounds familiar on both sides of the Atlantic. Do you hear that? You hear that timeline, the so-called clave beat, which is in Cuba, but it's actually all over the Black Atlantic. Candombe is not tango, but it culturally prepared Buenos Aires to be a city ready for rhythm.
So this candombe, not to be confused with candomblé, which is in Brazil.
Candomblé is Bahia.
Okay.
Candombe is Uruguay and Buenos Aires.
Okay. So this is like the African, the taproot.
Yes, yes. This prepared them. It gave them a sense of rhythm. And not only that, candombe dancing is heavily pours into the first stage, the so-called milonga, which is to tango as ragtime is to jazz.
Right. Now, the late Astor Piazzolla in this studio once explained that he felt that milonga was, you know, the immediate precursor of tango, that it was sort of associated with, as he put it, the brothels, the houses of ill repute. Again, like ragtime.
Yeah.
Is that where milongas began?
I would
began?
Say that the brothel thing is slightly exaggerated because there were guys practicing with guys hoping to win a girlfriend on the weekend on street corners, and they danced to whistling and they danced to organ grind. And there were perfectly decent, hardworking women working in bars, etc. So it's been exaggerated. There was a lot of tango going on in clubs and on the streets and in parks that had nothing to do with brothels.
All right. Well, before we get to, we're sort of jumping ahead because we have this African root in the candombe drum.
Right.
What's the other big
root? The next
root?
One is Andalusian. And that is African too, but not Central African like candombe, but Moorish. Mm. The pito, the finger popping, the palmada, and the taconeo. That combination of pito, palmada, taconeo that's so strong in flamenco, it went with the cowboys to Argentina. Many of the cowboys were black, and many of those of Spanish descent were Andalusian, so you get this Congo plus Moorish. And we could listen to a little bit of the cowboy music and can see what I'm talking about.
So these are the gauchos of the northern plains
gauchos.
Of Argentina.
And there were many of them that were black.
All right, here's a little bit of their music.
Oh, first of all, you're struck by something that's not only African, but Andalusian. That 6-8 plus 3-4, and that brrrrum, that dragging of the notes is called the arrastre. That brrrrum goes straight into tango today. And not only that, when it hear that off-beating? Also, you hear a drum in the background.
Right.
That's a bombo. Bombo is a Congo name drum, which is part and parcel of certain parts of rural music.
Now, I'm also hearing a piano.
Oh, yes. You're hearing this.
Which you could not have, thrown over the
piano,
back of a horse.
The piano is playing the role of the harp in the original music.
All right. So this is a little bit of this gaucho music.
Yes, this is a sample of it.
Okay. So you put together the African root and the kind of Andalusian slash Moorish.
And it's not
influence.
Enough. There's still one more.
What's the missing piece?
Habanera. Bing, king, king, bing, king, king. The whole world knows the habanera because it went from Cuba to Spain where Bizet heard it, and then he puts it in Carmen. Dun-dun-dun, dun-dun-dun. Everybody knows that little habanera, and even if you don't know it, you have heard it, et cetera, et cetera.
So the habanera, literally
habanera,
named
literally
after the city
the
of Havana.
Song of Havana.
All right,
but it brought this thing, and the habanera filtered through that northern Caribbean city, New Orleans, into jazz, and W.C. Handy in the St. Louis Blues, he used that beat, and he called it tangana. Now, how did he know that Congo phrase for walk that walk? Who knows, but that's what he called it, tangana. Mm.
So all of these influences coming together into this kind of alchemical relationship, and out of that comes tango or not yet?
No, out of that comes milonga,
okay,
which is Kimbundu for argument. Out of that comes milonga, which is Kikongo for dancing in lines. And the milonga, in pulling all of this together, is one of the most exciting Afro-influenced musics of the planet. Most people think of Argentina as purely white. But no en su música, not in their music. If you could listen for a second to a classic milonga Here it comes. You hear the habanera beat.
The habanera beat, yeah.
There it is, being drummed, an Afro style on the side. You don't have to have conga drums. You can use the bass. Then comes these wonderful piston-like offbeats. It's an A, the dominant of the key of D, and whoom, 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 coming like a piston.
So what time period are we talking about
this
here?
This is 1962. This is one of the most brilliant compositions in the style of milonga. Milonga is faster than tango. Milonga has all of that African ecstatic danceability to it.
So when did, first of all, my guest is Robert Farris Thompson, art history professor at Yale University and author of the new book, Tango, The Art History of Love. When did all of this mixing of the gaucho music and the candombe drums, the African drums, the habanera, when did that all first form milonga?
Well, there are two answers. Specifically, in the end of the century, in the 1870s, 1880s, but at another level, forever. Because Troilo, the great bandoneonista in that classic milonga, which we were just listening to, he was still working out further. But he even puts in a little bit of samba.
So almost 100 years after that first formation of milonga, the form was still evolving.
Well, it's just like Robert Redford bringing the ragtime back.
Okay. You're doing a reading from this book tonight at Galapagos in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, tonight at 8 o'clock. You'll be playing some of these music clips and stuff.
Right.
Who is this book aimed at?
This book is aimed at people who want to know that when you say American, it's just not us. It's Argentines, it's Brazilians, it's Ecuadorians. And it's an attempt to show that Buenos Aires is one of the hippest cities in the world. More psychiatrists in New York, more theaters in Paris, so they say, and the widest boulevard in the world.
In Buenos Aires.
You're there, a warning, Buenos Aires is addictive. Do not go there unless you intend to come back.
All right. Now, you know, you mentioned this mural. You know, if Boca Juniors win an important soccer match, or, you know, a horse wins the Argentine equivalent of the Derby, which is a big deal down there, people fill those boulevards. Do they still fill those boulevards for tango? Is it still an important?
No, it's now an open race. There are places devoted to rock. And cumbia villera is very important. Salsa is very big. But tango is definitely still a strong current.
Okay.
Still, and not only that, what's happening is very... There are b-boys, a black Argentine b-boy, who are mixing hip-hop now with tango. And they call it Plan B.
Plan B. Well, and then, of course, there was, as I mentioned earlier, the late Astor Piazzolla, who was
Well, he mixed everything.
Right. Classical music, jazz.
Aleatory music, John Cage, free jazz, blue tonality, you name it.
Well, now, so tango evolves from milonga, presumably, becomes not just a dance, but a musical style and lyrics as well.
And a philosophy. If you play the next cut, Still Anivo Troilo, you see the immense contrast with milonga. Milonga is fast, happy, bing, bing. Mm-hmm. But now if we listen to Troilo.
This is the same artist as the last piece. And
suddenly we're in another world.
Okay.
And it's slow. It's reflective. There it is. That's not a musical phrase. That's a thought. And what is that thought? Oh, damn. Alice, what did I do wrong? I promise not to be so selfish again. Please come back to me, darling. Please. I'll give you anything. I'll completely remanufacture my personality. You can feel this yearning.
Mm.
And tango is exquisitely nostalgia. If nostalgia is a country, tango is its capital.
Well, now, Buenos Aires is a port city that, you know, has obviously attracted people, not just from Andalusia and from Africa, but from all over the world.
Oh, there are so many routes. There's a Jewish route that comes out in a horror step where you twist going forward, doing pivots. It's called the grapevine in Eastern Europe. They call it la viborita, the little snake. The metaphor changed, but the movement's the same. And then there are three books on the Jewish impact on tango. And the Spanish impact is very strong.
Mm-hmm.
Italian, forget it. I mean, early tango, some of them were really canzonette from Naples, just played over a tango beat, played over the Habanera.
Well, Piazzolla was from an Italian family. What about Gardel?
Was born in Toulouse, and he was French. But he's an example of how the migrants, the immigration, generated this power. All these people, there were more. It's like New York today.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what the numbers are, but it's massive. And you can expect great music to come out of New York for that reason alone.
Right. Robert Farris Thompson, my guest, author of Tango, The Art History of Love, published by Pantheon Books. What about Horacio Salgan, a name I had never come across before
well,
your book?
That's a sacred name in black studies. Horacio Salgan is black, and he wrote in his autobiographical book, I've been trained in terms of Rachmaninoff, Mozart, Ravel, and they are part of my bloodstream. But I am also black, not outrageously and not weakly, but it is part of my truth. So if we listen to a little of his, you can see how immediately his tangos distinguish from ordinary, sad, Weltschmerz-laden music. If we listen to a little of it,
okay.
First of all, you're struck by the ecstatic quality of it. It's rollicking. It's anything but depressed. And this is a composition we'll be listening to called Tierra Querida.
All right, this is some music from Horacio Salgan. Some music here from Horacio Salgan, a black composer and pianist from the Argentine tango tradition, and a piece called Tierra Querida. My guest is Robert Farris Thompson, author of Tango, The Art History of Love. Salgan, is he sort of a mid-20th century, is he still with us?
He is, I think, 88 years old. He is the oldest living icon in black composition, Afro-Argentine composition, completely trained as a Western musician, used to play when movies were silent. He played the piano and he goes way back. But this composition is from the 1950-54 period, and you can hear the pounding quality, the wit of it, does a ba-da-ding, da-da-ding, ding, da-da-ding, doom, and that one single accent. He's like Monk. He is like Ellington. When Ella Fitzgerald went to Buenos Aires, she heard her black brother and said, oh, we must hear this. So she went to Norman Granz, the impresario, and had him do a LP called 3 a.m. in Buenos Aires, all Salgan.
Wow. Now, you mentioned that he did some work in film. You write a lot about tango and Hollywood.
Yes.
How did tango get to be the international craze that it later became? How did it get to the United States?
There are many crazes. The first one was the fact that Paris, just before World War I, was cultural capital of the world, and the Parisians went absolutely crazy over tango. And mimesis of vogue, copying the great capital. Even the Argentines that had looked down on it as vulgar music from the outskirts, they found to their shock that if they went to Paris, they weren't judged on how much land they owned. They were judged on whether they could do a good tango or not. And nearly 100 Argentines were there, pumping real moves into the city. And that went to New York, and it was called tango pirate style, deep leans and so forth. And Valentino, in a place not far from where we are now, learned the tango pirate step, deep leans, accentuate domination, etc., and blew Hollywood away. And so the tango scene in The Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse was the thing that made tango forever. And for some time you had Valentino like swooping, and it's not tango, it's faux tango, but at least it kept the word up. And it went straight into the 50s when Norma Desmond danced with Bill Holden to the filmed by the same guy that had filmed, a man named Seitz, who had filmed Valentino 20 years before.
Oh.
So there's a lot of continuity. But the real film, to see it, well, there was a marvelous film for the best music I've heard in Hollywood, is Tango Lesson by Sally Potter. But the creme de la creme is Saura, the brilliant Spaniard, whose tango, No me dejas nunca, Never Leave Me, Baby, Tango. And that has a central figure who's in love with two women, and they're both tango dancers, so it's continuous.
So the tango, I mean, we started off with you explaining why, as an art historian, you wrote a book on tango, because there was so much visual material. That continues.
Film is one of the, film history is classical art history, and let me remind you that even the current governor of California, in a movie called True Lies, actually did a pretty creditable tango and threw out his huge thigh and put Tia Marrera on it. Boom, boom, just boom, boom. So,
and then, of course, there's Gomez from the Addams Family.
Right.
Just to, you know, go from the sublime to the ridiculous or whatever. Robert, do you dance?
I'm a junior varsity dancer on the tango. But, you know, there's
Do you have one move that always gets you the girl?
There is one move that shows the talent of the girl, the ocho, where you make a little signal with your hand, and then she does this incredible sinuous figure eight that sheens her legs, that shows her independence. So it's like she's throwing eight roses at your feet. It's incredible.
Ah,
the ocho.
The ocho. So that's your favorite, is it?
That's my favorite for of the steps that women do.
Okay.
My own steps are not so hot.
Robert Farris Thompson, his book is Tango, The Art History of Love, and he is reading tonight in Brooklyn at Galapagos at 8 p.m. You can get details on our website at wnyc.org. It's part of the Little Gray Book lecture series. You'll be reading and playing some excerpts.
Right, sure will.
Now, we wanted to make sure we got to this last excerpt by a composer named Osvaldo Pugliese.
Yeah. This is like an ultra tango, and it was composed and recorded in May 1949. If we play it, you can immediately see what marvelous disparate qualities he brings together. First of all, now the violin and everything is being treated as eighth note. This is sort of tango's answer to Stravinsky. In the Rite of Spring, it gets stronger, gets stronger, gets stronger, gets stronger. You hear him on the right hand? And then there'll be an arrastre coming in a second. Whoomp! It's like a Cape Canaveral rocket going off. It's unbelievable. And you hear this little downscale, friendly little thing going on in the right, where all of this pulsing, piston-like, industrial-like power. Then suddenly, what happened? Where are we? We're in another world. We're in the blues. We're in blues tonality. We're in nostalgia. What he's suggesting is be total, be strong, be practical, but don't forget to dream. Don't forget to daydream. And so this dreamy, gauzy sequence takes you completely by surprise. We're somewhere, New Orleans, Mississippi, or maybe we're next door to Ellington, who knows? But the blues notes and the homage to black music is very much there.
The piece is called Malandraca?
Malandraca, which is my darling little rascal.
Osvaldo Pugliese is the tango composer from Argentina responsible for this piece. And my guest, Robert Farris Thompson, is responsible for the new book, Tango, The Art History of Love. You can catch more of Robert and some of this music at Galapagos in Brooklyn tonight at 8 o'clock. Robert, a real pleasure having you here in our studio. Thank you so much for joining us.
El gusto es doble. The pleasure is double.
This is Soundcheck. Thank you. If you'd like to comment on anything you hear on Soundcheck, we're happy to hear from you. You can send us an email, soundcheck@wnyc.org. Thanks for listening to today's podcast of Soundcheck from WNYC, New York Public Radio. This was just one of the show's segments. You can hear everything we do on demand at WNYC.org. Check out our other podcasts at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This podcast is made possible by WNYC and its listeners. Please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org. And thanks.